Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is not the first time that I have worshiped at St. John's. I've actually worshiped here with you all a lot of times through the years. When my son was first born and I had a few weeks out of the pulpit in my own parish, and when I was on sabbatical, this is, and I hope you all know that, one of those churches in the diocese where people know there's life and vitality. The very first time I worshiped with you here, though, I was in high school, about to go to college, and I came here to be confirmed. It's an interesting story. When I was in about the seventh grade and it was time to get confirmed, I decided that I was going to be rebellious and I wasn't going to do it. And I told my parents and my priest, "I'm not going to do that." And not only that, I know that I was born into the Episcopal Church and grew up in the Episcopal Church, but I'm not really so sure about this anymore. So I'm going to go off and be a Baptist. And no one was upset. My priest and my parents were all perfectly fine with it. So I went off and I did my own thing for a few years. And while I was attending a Baptist church with some of my friends in high school, I read the Bible for the first time. It was something that my youth minister encouraged me to do, all the way through from beginning to end. And when I did it, I found something that I wasn't expecting. When I wasn't jumping around and just reading the good, easy, happy stories, this theme kept jumping out at me. It's the theme of sacrifice. It's the theme that I think is the most prevalent throughout all of Scripture. You might say, "Father Mullins, certainly that's like love, right? Or joy, or peace, or hope, not sacrifice." But it was sacrifice. And the thing that I learned is that in sacrifice you find love and joy and peace and hope, because sacrifice is about a relationship with God. That's what drew me back to the Episcopal Church. We come to an altar every Sunday to offer a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, ourselves, our souls, and bodies to God. And that was my relationship with God. So when it came time to be confirmed, we didn't have confirmation coming up at Holy Nativity where I attended, and I said to my priest, "I can't go off to college without being confirmed," and I came here and was confirmed with you at St. John's. But this idea of sacrifice that drew me back into the altar, it's important for us today. Sacrifice, like a lot of words in the English language, comes from a couple of root words. One of them means holy, sacred, set apart, and the other means to make or to do. So quite literally, when we offer up to God a sacrifice, we are giving God something that is made holy, set apart, made different, made new, resurrected even, and then given back to us, different than it was at the beginning. David was making a sacrifice to the Lord in 2 Samuel 24, the reading that we read just a moment ago. Now, I want to give you a little background here because we didn't read the entire story. David had just messed up. And that is actually very much the case throughout David's life. You see, King David messes up, walks away from the Lord, and God draws him back in. And he goes off and he does his own thing again, and God pulls him back in close to his heart. And David runs off his own direction, and God draws him back in again. I've wondered if when Jesus told the parable of the prodigal son, if he might have been thinking of the relationship between King David and God. So here's what happened this time. King David started to get worried. There were armies rising up around him, as there often were. And God said, "I will save my people Israel. You don't have anything to worry about." And David got a little worried. So he sent messengers out into the kingdom to go find out how many able-bodied warriors he had in the kingdom. And it was an act of mistrust from his heart. And so his relationship with God was rent in some way. And God sent a plague over Israel. And what we find here on Araunah's threshing floor is that David has come up sort of on a ridge overlooking Jerusalem, and he has a vision. He's able to sort of see the heavenly, the spiritual. And there's an angel standing on this farmer's threshing floor with its hand outstretched toward Jerusalem with a plague. And God is holding the angel's hand back. And the prophet Gad comes to David and says, "Go down to the threshing floor and offer a sacrifice to God. Give God your heart and soul again. Renew the covenant that God has made with you." So David goes down to the threshing floor, and on the way, this unsuspecting farmer sees the king of Israel coming, and he lays prostrate, and he says, "O Lord, my king, why have you come to me?" And David says, "I want to buy the threshing floor from you and offer a sacrifice to God." And Araunah says, "Oh no, my lord the king, you can have the threshing floor, it's yours. You can have the oxen, I'll break apart my plow, and you can have the sledges to make the altar and the wood for the fire. All of it is yours. I give it to you, my king." And David says, profoundly and beautifully, "No, but I will buy them from you for a price. For I cannot offer a sacrifice to the Lord my God that cost me nothing." So we learn something about sacrifice. It is costly. It's costly because a sacrifice is actually representative of ourselves. And if we don't give God something that matters to us, something that is valuable, something that is costly, then we're not really giving God ourselves. When I was a kid, we didn't have a lot. We were doing all right. I mean, my sister and I had clothes on our backs. We always had food on the table and in the pantry, but there just wasn't a lot of excess in our house. And I knew that. Kids pick up on those things, right? And I remember very vividly my parents having to make sacrifices to meet their priorities. And those became important words for me, sacrifice and priority. For instance, my sister and I always got to do the things that we needed, really the things we wanted. If there was a field trip that cost $20, we got to go. If there was a summer camp that we had our hearts set on, my parents made it happen for us, even though it was difficult. We were a priority to them, and that was clear. But they made sacrifices to make that happen. So, for instance, I got really used to leftovers being on the table for a good long while after we'd initially eaten them. My mom would make a pot of sauce that would last all week, get used in three different meals, then be frozen, be brought back out a week later. She would clip coupons in the evening, sometimes even on the weekend when she went to make her shopping trip, go to two different stores to get the best deals possible. She learned how to make those sacrifices to make sure that we weren't wasting anything in our house. And one of the things that I remember very vividly is that on Saturday nights, we'd finish eating, my dad would clear the table, my mom would get the checkbook out. Do y'all still have checkbooks? Okay, I don't. But my mom would get the checkbook out, and she'd reconcile the checkbook from the week, and she'd pay any bills that had come in. My sister and I would still be sitting at the table, and she would write every week that check to the church that we would then the next morning watch her put in the plate as it came around. And I still remember the number. Now, the number probably went up and down through the years due to circumstances, but the number that I have stuck in my head that I remember watching her write was $80 a week. Now, for our family, $80 a week was a lot. That was probably getting close to the amount of money that she spent on groceries. So there was a very clear priority being laid out by my parents, and I saw the sacrifice that it took to make that happen. It was, for us, costly. I want you to imagine with me that you are coming here today to offer a sacrifice. It might be helpful for you to think about this in Old Testament terms. When someone came to the temple in the Old Testament to offer a sacrifice, they chose the animal from their flock, or they brought the first fruits from their field, whatever it might be. And you know what happened at the end. The animal was killed, or the offering was burned on the altar at the temple. But something really important happened in between, something that I want you to pay attention to. The person would bring their offering into the temple, and they'd come up to the gate of the temple, and the priest would come out and meet them there, and they would say, "I'm here to offer sacrifice." And the priest would say, "Go ahead." They'd lay their hand on the animal's head, and they would begin to sing a psalm of praise to God. They would pray. They would thank God for all the blessings he had given. They would praise God for his goodness and holiness and love. They might ask forgiveness of God for something that they had done. And at the end, the animal would go back with the priest. But the laying of the hand on the head, that's a way of saying, the thing that I am offering, this costly sacrifice, this is me. Because God doesn't want the animal, and God doesn't want a piece of paper from you. What God wants, and what God has always wanted, is your heart, your soul, your life, your strength, your very being. And God has given you his own already. God has given you his life, walking among us, living and dying as one of us, experiencing all the joys and pain of life just as we do. God offered himself up for the life of the world. What we do when we offer a sacrifice is we offer God our lives, ourselves, our priorities, and we are changed in the process. We are made holy. God gives us something different back than what we gave to God. So sacrifice is not about pain and suffering. Sacrifice is about life and love. The question for you today is, what is God calling you to sacrifice? I want you to take out the card that you have in your bulletin. Actually, take it out, Episcopalians. Before you look at it, before you fill it out, before you do anything with it, I want you to take a moment to pray. I want you to thank God for what God has given you. I want you to tell God how much you love him. I want you to ask God for forgiveness if there's a place in your life that you need that. I want you to lay your hand on the card and recognize that what it is you are offering is not a number or a piece of paper, but a witness of life and love to the God who first loved you. And in just a few minutes, the ushers will come around, and they will collect those from you, and they'll be brought up to the altar here and blessed on the altar. A sacrifice of love. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice unto God.